Okay, so we're continuing in this piece about where the Rashba was, I guess, answering up questions from a Christian who was trying to maintain that the Torah is temporary. The mitzvahs of the Torah are temporary. And as such, they maintain, the Christians, that basically the whole thing was, you know, all the mitzvahs were negated, and now we don't have to keep the mitzvahs, they don't have to keep the mitzvahs anymore. And it's not just that they want to claim that that's the case, but they want to claim that even rabbis hold that that's the case. So they try to find various sources in the Gemara which indicate this idea that mitzvahs will be knocked out. Okay, so one of the sources that they bring is a Gemara, and we did one of them. We did one of them about the idea of Kriyat Shema being knocked out. We did that last time. So, last two times. So now we're going to try a second source, which is the question. This is on page Chavchas. He's bringing another Gemara from Nida, which they think supports their Taina. So he says, they also wanted to strengthen their taina on us. Mimasham Rabbanida Perka Isha. So it says, Begaj Avad Bokalayim Harizel Loyim Krenalagai. Well, Yasin Wadas Lachamor. So it's saying is, if you have a Begad, a garment, which has Kalayim in it, Shatnez. So it's like, let's say it's a wool garment, and there's a tiny little thread of linen that got mixed into the garment. And you don't know where it is. Right, you don't know where it is. So it's somewhere in the garment, you don't know where. So it's Kalayim. So if you knew where it was, you'd pull it out and get rid of it. But now you don't know where it is, so what are you going to do? So it says you, so in theory, you'd say, so just sell to a guy. Because Kalayim isn't usur for Behana. You're allowed to get benefit from the Kalayim, you're just not allowed to wear it. So in theory, you'd say, sell to a guy. But the problem is, you can't do that. Because you're worried, maybe the guy is going to turn around and sell it to a Jew. An unknowing Jew, unsuspecting Jew, and he's going to end up wearing Kalayim, wearing Shanas. So therefore, you can't do that. Okay, you're so to speak giving a stumbling block to a guy, and thereby potentially causing a Jew to wear Shanas. So you can't do that. So what then? But you can make it. You can make it shrouds for to bury a mace in it. Okay, so you're allowed to bury someone in Shatnez. To bury someone in Shatnez, you could do because he's dead. Okay, so it says Amar Rav Yosef Zosomeres Mitzvos Betelos Lasad Lava. So it says Rav Yosef says, so you could deduce from here that mitzvos are Baltel Lasad Lava in the future. Okay, mitzvahs are about in the future, right? And which sounds like, what does that sound like it means? Sounds like it means that they're batal in the future when etchias amesim means, because what are you worried about burying someone dead? So in theory, you could argue that it means, well, potentially he's going to come back to life and etchias amesim, and he's going to be wearing shanas. So why aren't you worried about that? So it says, Rabbi Yosef is saying, it must be that mitzvos patelos lasad lava, that and this is the way the Christians read the Gemara, that it must be therefore that mitzvos are going to be knocked out in the world to come, in the Rosh Mashiach, in the time of Tchias Mason, of resurrection. So and then the Gemara says, V'pliga derbi ami, dam rabbi ami, debe rabbi ami, lo shon lo softo, lo kovro asar. And the Gemara there states that this Gemara argues on Rabbi Ami because he holds that you're not allowed to bury the person in this garment. You're allowed to eulogize him wearing this garment of Kalayim, but not to bury him. Right? So why not? So apparently he holds that the mitzvahs are not going to be batal. Right? That's the way they want to learn. That's the question, is will there be mitzvos in Tchias Mesim? So if you say there won't be, so then you have no problem burying the corpse in this Kalayim, in Shanas. But if you say the mitzvos are going to come back, so then you shouldn't be allowed to bury him in it. Right, that's just says v'ton homeilu mefarshim la'asid lavo lachar tchiyah. So these people who are making claims, these Christians are claiming that la'asid lavo means after tchiyah sameisim. V'lomar, and they say she'ilu lo hayu mitzvos b'teilu lachar tchiyah. If not for the fact that mitzvos were not batel and were not negated until after tchiyah sameisim, hayu also likvar b'begat sheyesh bo kalayim. So you wouldn't be allowed to bury the person in kalayim b'mnei shamru b'ksilos, perik whatever. I see them. So it says, Rabbi Yosef maintains that in the time of a resurrection, the people will emerge wearing their clothing. Okay, as a kavachomer, whatever. Learned that from wheat, whatever that means. But so it's saying is that since people are going to emerge in Tres Mesim wearing their clothing, so if their clothing is kalayim, you're going to have a problem. Vamru shal kein, aser, Rabbi Ami. So therefore, Miami says they're not allowed to bury them wearing kalayim, because then they're going to come back, and they're going to come back wearing kalayim. So it's like you're, so to speak, you're causing them to stumble when they come back. So you're not allowed to do that. Okay, so that's their argument. They try to argue from this Gemara that this is, you see, a clear machlokas in the Gemara whether or not the mitzvahs will be batel. Will be knocked out in time of Tchias Mason. Right? So the Christians say to us, don't tell us that there's no such thing as mitzvahs being knocked out and mitzvahs are permanent. You see, it's not so. You see that there's a machlokas about it in this Gemara and Nida. So he picks up on page Lamed Aleph. Okay, we did all this stuff. The stuff in between we kind of did from the other part. But it's page Lamed Aleph and toward, at the bottom. Okay, it says, so regarding the question from the Gemara in Nida, which you just did, he says, da, ki amida hazos, this measure, or it really means this phrase, ratzalomar la'asid lavo, when it says la'asid lavo, the mitzvahs are going to be knocked out la'asid lavo, ne'emra al kol hazman haba. He's saying it doesn't really refer to what you think it means. You think it means that it's Tchias HaMesim. That's not what it's talking about. L'asid lavo means any time in the future. Rachog or karov, it could mean very far in the future, it could mean very short in the future. Afilu's man habasamach mamash, it could even be tomorrow or very close. Ke'amram bechazores kli zayin b'shabes, k'dei shalol letehem achshilon l'asid lavo. So there's a thing is that regarding bringing back weapons, if you go to war, so it says if you bring your weapons, let's say you go to war. I think this is the case that you went to war, you go to war on Shabbos and you have to bring your weapons because you're carrying, but you have to fight the war. But let's say you win the war and the war is over, and now it's Shabbos, so you're allowed to bring your weapons back home. So in theory, it should be a problem because of Hotzah, it's like carrying. But the thing is that if you wouldn't let people bring them back home, then in the future when this happens, people are going to be more hesitant to bring about bringing weapons, and that's not going to be good for the Jews. So therefore, so that you don't cause them to stumble in the future, you allow them to bring them back this time. Okay, it's a similar thing. They have that with Hatzalah. It's like if you don't, or doctors, if you don't let doctors drive their car back from the hospital on Shabbos, then maybe they're going to be more hesitant to go next time, and that's a kosher fashos, and you know, that's one of the arguments about allowing, you know, driving home from hospitals or whatever on Shabbos. So it's saying is, but the Rashi's point is that it says that you're going to cause them to stumble la'asid lavo in the future. Now that doesn't mean in the times of Tchias HaMesim, that means tomorrow, next year, whenever you have a war. It doesn't mean any time in the long, long-term future. And similarly it says, okay, so another instance, the same kind of thing. I'm going in a river on Yom Kippur. Okay, but the point is, these two examples that show you, don't just see the word Asid Lavo and automatically jump to Yemos HaMashiach. That's not necessarily the case. He says, so what then does it mean in Mitzvahs B'Teilus Asid Lavo? So what does it mean in the Mitzvahs are going to be Batel Asid Lavo? If it doesn't mean in the future, in the time of Yemos HaMashiach, what then does it mean? So he says, Biuro La'achar HaMavas Mamash, it means after they die. Literally. Tomorrow, whenever they're dead, with Sony. Sha'mesim ba'odam mesim patur min mitzvos. Means when mesim, when they're dead, are patur from mitzvos. V'hu she'hviyu sham raya min ha'kasav b'mesim chavshi. Okay, because they brought a proof from the pasuk, because it says b'mesim chavshi. when dead people are free. Kivan shemeis adam nasa chavshim in mitzvos. When a person dies, they're considered free from the mitzvos. Okay, so he's saying is, it doesn't mean, that's his argument to say there's no mitzvos lasid lava. So he's saying is, it doesn't mean, it's not talking about whether there will be mitzvos in times of Moshe Mashiach. It means the reason why you're allowed to bury the corpse in the Beged with Kalayim is because mitzvos are batal when he's dead. Lasid lava means when he's dead. Mitzvos are batal when he's dead, and that's why you're allowed to bury him in the corpse, because you don't have mitzvos when you're dead, in the grave. It doesn't mean in the Yosef Mashiach, or also, you know, in Tchias HaMeisim, that's a different story, it's not talking about that. That really, you could argue, there will be mitzvos then. But it means, in the grave, there's no mitzvos. There's no commandment that a corpse has to wear, can't wear kalayim. Okay, you with me so far?
Yes, but I have one question.
Okay, good.
That the loss of love is very relative to the specific person who is buried.
Yes.
Why would they just say there's no mitzvahs when the person is dead?
That's a good question, but I mean, he kind of saying as it is, because the proof that he brings is because it says b'meisim chavshi. Once you die, you become free from the mitzvahs. So he's saying is that's what the Gemara means. He's saying that is what the Gemara means. And the term is used to mean, sometimes the term means right away. I mean, the Rashi was saying that's consistent with the usage of the term. Like, Anna could have said it in a different way, but he's saying it's clear from the context that is what it means.
Okay, so lots of love is used that way, because
my
Hebrew is not.
Yeah, no. I don't think it's a matter of the Hebrew. He's just showing from those two other Gemaras that lasid lava just means in the sometime in the future. So he shows it could mean that I can't bring you up in the back.
Yeah, that I understand, but I would have thought it meant more globally, especially when they're saying there's no mitzvah lasid lava. I would have thought that meant.
Oh, I guess, but in the context, what it's saying is now you want to bury him when he's dead. So it means that lasid lava means mitzvahs are for us now when we are living, but not lasid lava, not when we die. So it doesn't mean, right, it's not referring to an era, but it's referring to relative to the people to whom the mitzvahs apply. There's no mitzvahs lasid lava. There's no mitzvahs once we're that.
Okay.
The problem, there's a problem, though, which this sort of opens up. Because if you remember the Gemara had machlokas, the other position says you can't bury him in Kalayim. Right? So if you say lasid lava is worried about Tchias HaMeisim, then you can say the other side says that there will be mitzvahs in Tchias HaMeisim. And they say that's what they're arguing about. But if you say that it means there's no mitzvahs, lasid lava means there's no mitzvahs in the grave, then what's the other position saying? There are mitzvahs in the grave? Right? I mean, when you're dead, there's certainly no issa to wear kalayim when you're dead, it would seem. Right? Okay, so he deals
with the person who's burying him?
Exactly. Exactly, that's what he's going to say. That's what he's going to say. He says, "Im tomar b'denu meis, echolik ravami v'amashenu m'pater." How could it be that Rami's arguing, saying, "You're not pater, v'eno ben mitzvos, he's not included in mitzvos." He says, "Daki ladas rabi ami hameis ketinok, shalugil klal mitzvos misar atzmo." He says, according to Rami, a corpse is like a baby who's not included in mitzvos on his own. V'ilu ro'inuhu over, but yet if we would see him violating, in bezim mitzuvim lafrisho, if a person, if you see the baby violating a mitzvah, you don't have to stop him. Even though we don't have to stop him, if we're not allowed to feed him, Isser, or to actively violate him on the mitzvah, to actively push him into the violation, so it means is warning the gedolim that you're not allowed to feed los achilam. You can't feed ketanim treif. So even an infant who's totally not subject to the commandments cannot be fed treif. So he's saying similarly, that's what Rabbi Yami is arguing. Right, that's what Rabbi Yami is arguing. That the Isser would apply equally, just like you can't feed an infant treif, you can't feed a corpse treif. But obviously, you can't feed a corpse, there's no such thing as that, but you can't put shanas on a corpse. Right? Uh, Give me 1 second. So that's what he's saying, is that apparently he's saying that's what he's maintaining. Mrs. Batavia, the other position who says his usher holds that you're not allowed to give to make him wear a kalayim, just like you're not allowed to feed a baby treif. And presumably that's how he's learning is the machlokas, is that do you say that just like I can't feed a baby treif, I can't put clothing on a corpse? Or do you say, no, the mesim chafshi, the mes is totally free from mitzvos, and therefore it doesn't apply anymore. There's no such problem. No such problem. Doesn't apply by a mes. You can't carry over from a baby to a corpse. Right? That's how he wants to learn his argument there. So Mrs. Batel's lost at lava or not means in the state when they're dead. Right? Okay, so I'd like to understand that machlokas, but before we do that, let's just read a little more. One more thing I want to read. So let's skip the Vim Tish Alod. I mean, you can look at it, but it's a technicality. So I don't want to get into it. But Rav Chiya bar Yosef, Shamar B'Ksuvos, Shasar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hamid HaSadikim B'Lvushayim. So if you're saying is, we're really discussing is whether or not there's a problem putting it on a corpse. But what about the problem of Tres HaMesim? What about if you say that Tzaddikim are going to arise in their clothing, according to him? So he says, Yisperkidasa B'yami Shasa L'Kovra. So he'll just have to say that it's Aser for a different reason, even if it's not Aser because of the fact that, you know, that you're putting clothing on the, because you're feeding a corpse. That Aser. But it'll be an Aser for a different problem, that when he comes alive, he's going to end up wearing clothing. Rav Yosef, Rav Yochanan Shiti Ruhu Afakovro. And what about the positions who say that you're allowed to bury him? Lo Yisbek Ruchi Bar Yosef, Shomer B'Ksivos B'Lu Shem Amundam. Either maybe they just don't hold by that. I mean, that's one position who says that they're going to arise wearing their clothing. But you'll just say those who will permit you to put clothing on the Kalayim on a corpse will say they don't hold by that. They don't hold that they're going to come up wearing their clothing. Right? Or he says, Hashemah. Or maybe you'll say Gamal Dasher Ruchi, and this is Mary, what you were talking about. Gamal Dasher Ruchi by Yosef, Eina Kavanah you own them, but Osam Abusham Mamish. It doesn't mean they're going to stand the exact same clothing. If there's one string of wool, the Avad Boshiyeh Chod Chozer Osocho, that string is going to come back. Doesn't mean that. Ela Kavanah Shibazesh you own them Levushim Mikavachom Shavim Mechita. It says they'll still stand up dressed like it says from Chita. Chita is wheat. The Gemara says, "Uma chita shenikver saruma yotzel vusha." So wheat is planted without clothing on. When you plant it, it's just a seed; it doesn't have any covering. But when it comes up from the ground, it's covered. It has like a sheaf around it. So it's just tzaddikim shenikverim levushim. So tzaddikim were buried with clothing on. Kol shekain shel levushim, they'll still rise wearing clothing. So he's saying is maybe it doesn't mean. He says v'imtirtza. So he's saying maybe it just means that they're going to be. They're not going to be naked. It doesn't mean that they're going to be wearing the exact same garment. In Tirtza, and even if you want to say, Emor she'omdim bilvushim kitzuras osan levushim shenikrubahem, maybe it just means that they're going to wear the same kind of clothing, the same color, the same whatever. Kadesha yakir kol echad v'echad mesos. So this way people will be able to recognize their corpse. Sheba kiderach shehalach. Because this way he'll arise the same way he went underground. This way you won't say, oh, that's somebody else. So he says the Gemara also says that if someone was buried, died when they were lame, missing a foot or whatever, or when they're blind, they're going to rise blind. So this way people won't claim that they're not the same person. So maybe it doesn't mean that it's going to be the exact same clothing, string by string, thread by thread. It just means that they'll be identifiable. That they'll have the same basic clothing, but it doesn't mean they're necessarily going to be kalayim. So it's saying is that even if you want to maintain, like Rabbi Chireya said, they're going to wear come up clothes, who says that it means exactly the exact thread by thread? So you could just argue the whole thing isn't even a question. Whereas even if you hold, they'll come up, you still could say, I don't have to worry about shatness. Because look, shatness is the bag is going to disintegrate. And who said in Tchias Mason that's going to come back? So that's basically kind of the way Miriam, that you like kind of push aside that Gemara. It's hard to really ask a question from that kind of Gemara. And that's what he ends with. Divrei God Dahim Ve'im Hashivim Bahim. He says, yeah, that's his line, is that the whole thing of these Argadatas, you can't ask a question and prove your theory about Christianity because of an Argadata like that. It's just not... It's not very convincing and compelling. So that's what he says. The Divrei God Dvei Meshivan Bahem. He says, it's hard to ask a real strong question from an Agadata like this about they'll come up in their clothing. Because who knows exactly what it means? Does it mean literally? Does it mean sort of in their clothing? Is it, you know? So that's what he says altogether. But at the same time, he doesn't just say that to the guy. He really, you know, goes through the whole Gemara and relearns the whole thing. So, I mean, at the end of the day, he's just saying is, it's not really the strongest question. But it's hard to tell that to a Christian who's coming with the idea with a question. He's kind of answering him on his own terms, you know. He's not really, he's just mentioning that as like a, the end of the day. He's throwing that in. Right? He's throwing that in. But, yeah. But the main thing is, so I'd like to take up the, what's the original thing, the way he's explaining the machlokas. And he's trying to say the machlokas is do you say it's a problem, just like, you know, you're not allowed to feed a baby, not allowed to feed a baby, treif, so do you say, similarly, you can't bury a corpse in Kalayim. Right, that's the machlokas. Do you draw that parallel or not? So, how can we approach explaining that machlokas? I mean, what should we first understand or analyze in order to try to understand that machlokas? What would you ask or pursue? Yeah, so Miriam says a good question. That you're saying is that the Ritva actually asks this question. He says that the whole thing with a baby is he says maybe a baby is because of something like chinuch. Or something of that sort. The baby is going to grow up and be a part of the Torah. So it's like bad training to start giving treif to a baby. But a corpse who's, that's it, it's all over. It's hard to argue that there's a problem in the first place. It's the baby because of the future. You can't start him out on that path. But the dead, but the corpse, it's already all over. Right, that's true. But if you learn that way, then it's hard to, then it doesn't seem like there's any. If you learn that the problem with the baby is because of like chinuch or something to that effect, then it's hard to believe that anyone can make such a comparison, right? So it would seem that if the Rashba is holding that it's possible to draw that comparison, he's not holding that. He's not maintaining that it's somehow because it's bad training or something. He must be holding something other, something else, right? Which is possibly extendable to a corpse. And that's our question. So what then, if you don't want to learn that it has something to do with training, so how then could you understand that halacha of los achilam to, you know, of not feeding a baby, which lends itself to possibly extending to a corpse? So maybe he means, or maybe the problem is that see, you could argue like this, is that Jews don't eat treif. Okay? It's not just I can't eat treif. But it's like part of Kedushas Yisrael, part of the Jewish nation, that we eat kosher. And it's not our food. Kosher is our food. Treif is not our food. So for me to take, see, a baby, although he may not be commanded in mitzvos because he doesn't have das, he doesn't have knowledge, but he is a Jew. And for me to feed him treif would be making treif part of the Jewish menu, part of the Jewish diet. So it's not because he's in violation, but it's that it's like part of the Kedushas Yisrael is that we don't eat treif and we don't wear shatnez. And there's certain mitzvahs are part of it setting up a Jewish identity of our foods and our clothing. And it's saying it's for us, for a gadol to do that to a katan, also it creates such a violation. Is that it's a Jewish, he's a Jewish, the baby's Jewish. And similarly, you could argue that the Jewish body, the corpse, is a Jewish. For instance, you see that a Jewish corpse is, has tumah, he's in an ohel, like in a building. A kohen can't be in the same building as a Jewish body. But they could be in the same building as a non-Jewish body. So you see there is such a thing as a Jewish body. So it's the body of someone who is Jewish. So the thing is that so that you can't so Jewish people, Jewish bodies don't wear kalayim. Now it's true. Usually it means Jewish people don't put on kalayim because it's someone who's commanded in the mitzvah, but someone who has knowledge. But I mean, a corpse doesn't quite have knowledge, and therefore can't keep the mitzvah, but he is a Jewish body, and this is not clothing of Jews. So to wear, to dress your corpse in tachrichim, in shrouds of kelayim, is basically saying, is rendering the kelayim our clothing. So that's just saying, is los achila, means you can't, not only can't you perform the any of these prohibitions yourself, but you can't use to perform them on Jews. And that will apply, he'll say, equally to a baby and to a corpse. Okay, good. So the question then is, what's the other side? Right? Because apparently the other side says, no, don't worry about it. Doesn't matter, you're allowed to. Because mitzvos betelos lasid lavo, which means that once a person dies, he's chavshim and ha-mitzvos. So what's is free from mitzvah? So what's the counter argument? What's the counter argument? And then ultimately we have to try to understand what the machlokas is. So what's the counter argument? Maybe it's like this: is that there's two ways, and I'll take it in two steps. But there's two ways to look at a corpse. Okay, if he's vi mitzvahs, you could say, in one way you're going to look at him similar to a baby, another one you're going to say different. You could say a corpse, when one dies, they become, the event of death is like, excludes them from mitzvos. Mitzvos betelos lasid lavo. The mitzvos are negated. The event of death is like a remover, a hafka, a mevatel, a negator, remover, of the whole system of mitzvahs. That's what it says. When you die, you're chafshi men of mitzvahs. It totally removes the person from the whole system of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs apply to the living, and the event of death is like a hafka, a remover of the person from mitzvahs. Okay? It negates their role, their relevance to the whole system of mitzvahs. And if you look at it that way, then you cannot compare a baby and a corpse. Because a baby is involved in the system of mitzvahs, they may currently not have the knowledge to be able to be commanded, but they're involved in the system of the mitzvahs. They're part of the system. Their kedushas Yisrael, they're part of the system. It's just they've yet to become full fledged in their knowledge. But a corpse is totally exempted and removed from mitzvahs. So just because you can't dress a Jew in a Jewish baby in shanis, doesn't mean you can't dress a Jewish corpse, because a Jewish corpse has nothing to do with mitzvos. It's not, he's not part of the Jewish community insofar as mitzvos are concerned, because he's totally exempted from the whole category, the whole ballpark of mitzvos. Okay, you with me so far?
Yes, so but in that equation, then you would say the corpse is part of the nation in the sense that it still influences Tama and those kinds of things, but is not obligated in any of the mitzvos whatsoever.
But he's still included vis-a-vis what?
Like
Tuma. Yes, correct. Yes, right. As an object, yes. As an object of, just as like, as a chafza, so to speak. As a Jewish corpse or a non-Jewish corpse, yeah, he's just like an object. Like, just like you have a metal, you could have a utensil made out of metal or made out of wood, and you could have a corpse made, from a Jew or from a guy. But as being subject to the system of commandments, he's totally chafshiv men ha-mitzvos. Okay, it's like as an individual of mitzvos, as a wearer of shah of kalayim or something like that. Right, you with me?
So would he still, this might be sort of superfluous, but is he still counted then in the Jewish nation at that point?
Not vis-a-vis mitzvos. I mean, I'm not sure what vis-a-vis what. But not vis-a-vis mitzvahs. He has nothing to do. As it says, kiven shemeis nase chafshi min ha-mitzvahs. He's totally removed. It's a question vis-a-vis mitzvahs. Because the question is, does the mitzvah apply to him that I'm violating the mitzvah when I put clothing on him? Right?
I think I understand.
You think you do?
I think so.
Okay. Now the other way to look at it is that, and maybe we'll clarify when we come to, when we get both sides together, is that you don't posit that death is like a removal. Rather, a corpse is like a baby. In other words, there are two Jews who whose condition is such that they're not subject to mitzvahs. It's not pshat. It just means when you're a baby, you don't have knowledge, and therefore you're not commanded to mitzvahs. And when you're dead, you don't have life, and therefore you're not commanded to mitzvahs. It's not like there's no positive exemption or remover. You're a Jew. You are a Jew, and you are a Jew, and your body is Jewish. It's just that you currently, it's a funny way to look at it, but you currently, you're in a state where you're not subject to mitzvahs, but your body is still a Jew, and you're still theoretically subject to mitzvahs. You're just not in a condition which is temporarily removed from it, so to speak. Look, in Osama Mashiach or in Christmas, you may come back, but it's like a state where you're, like, so to speak, you know how you say it in tefillah, it's like, Mekayim Munosa Lishene Afar, like those who are sleeping in the dirt. So you say, it's like as if they're sleeping in the dirt. So I wasn't mean they're sleeping, they're dead. No, they're sleeping in the dirt. I mean, especially because Tchias HaMeisim, there's such a thing as it's a state. So you could look at mitzvahs and you could say that a mace is not intrinsically removed from mitzvahs. They're just not in a condition of chiyav. Not a condition of where they're obligated in mitzvahs. But for somebody else to do it to them, then that's a violation. Because they're intrinsically in the system. They just can't be chayav, but someone else could be chayav vis-a-vis them. Or the first side looks at it as not just that they're absent a condition of chayav, but that the event of death removes them from the system of mitzvahs. It removes them from the system of mitzvahs. If you say that, so then that's it. It's all over. Then vis-a-vis mitzvahs, they're nothing. And then you could put clothing on them altogether because they have nothing to do with the system. But again, if they're just in a condition of being removed, so then, yeah, someone else can't dress them in Kalayim. Okay, I'm gonna go a step further in a second, but do you follow me so far? Okay, so just to go a step further, perhaps, is because if you think about it, it seems like the first side is more reasonable. Because, I mean, it's hard to say the first side, right? Because you'd think of a mace as a mace, they're dead, it's not a baby, and it's not a condition of being removed from it. So it's dead as dead. And that is removed from mitzvahs. So it's a funny way to look at it, that the second way, that mace is like a condition of being removed from mitzvahs. On the surface, it seems like a little bit strange. I mean, you could posit that and you could say that's the definition halachically, and it could be it's a good halachic definition, but somehow it's a little bit funny. So perhaps you could go a step further. I think this was Zimmer's idea. I can't remember exactly, but the idea is that it really... Nor the normal way to look at it is, you're right, that's the way to look at it. But there's such a thing as Tchias HaMeisim. And it's kind of the Gemara does bring up Tchias HaMeisim, but or at least according to some ways of reading it. But there's such a thing as Tchias HaMeisim. So we don't hold that death is a final state. Like you say, we say in Tefillah, Lishenei Afar, to those who are sleeping in the dust. So you wouldn't call no one, I mean, although people say rest in peace, I mean, there is a saying like that, but it's not a normal thing that, like, a scientist would say. I mean, what do you mean rest? He's not resting, he's dead, and that's it. He's never coming back. But if you say the premise that death is a temporary state, but there is an idea of Tchias HaMeisim, then you could really call the corpses usually Shane Afar. People are sleeping in the dirt. Because philosophically speaking, given that we know that there's such a thing as Tchias HaMeisim, So, and we know that mitzvos will continue after in Tchias HaMeisim. So, therefore, you could argue, and you could look at death as a temporary state of removal from mitzvos. Right? As a temporary state, just like a baby doesn't have knowledge, a mace, a corpse, currently doesn't have life, but it's a temporary state. That's one way to look at it. But you could say, okay, that's very nice philosophy, and it's true, and all that. But halachically, that doesn't factor into the halachic definition of a mace and his role in vis-a-vis the mitzvahs. So far as the system of mitzvahs, death is over. Now I, the lead tchias HaMeisim, okay, so there'll be a new beginning. We'll start again. You don't say the fact that there's a philosophical truth of tchias HaMeisim that now, that therefore I define a mace differently. That's a question. It's like, this is a further step, and this is a little speculative, but insofar as what the machlokes is based upon, is do you say the fact that there is a reality of Tchias HaMeisim will make us therefore define death as a temporary state of removal from mitzvos, Or do you say that that doesn't factor into your halachic formulation of death, and death is death, and that's the removal, total removal of mitzvos, and the fact that it's mesim is a true fact that we know, and we know it's true philosophically, but it's not going to affect the halachic formulation. So I think it's true. It does make it more palatable, and you kind of hear it now. But I still think that the first way is halachically the way you define it. It's like, is the mesa like a removal, or is the mesa like just a current, a temporary state? It just, but that's like the way you define it. But like to give it more of a sense, to make it, that's like a more speculative, like a sense to the thing, and it does give it reasonability to say, especially that second side when you bring in the Chesed Meisim thing, Yeah, okay, so that's basically basically how the Rashi answered his question. Totally, you're mislearning the whole Gemara. The Gemara is not talking about what you think it's talking about. It's not really talking about Chesed Meisim. It's really talking about a death, a corpse. Whether mitzvahs apply to a corpse in the state of being dead, is there a problem of the living people putting the clothing on the dead people, and therefore they totally missed the boat? But no one ever really held in the Chazal that mitzvahs are going to be knocked out in time of Tchias Mason. They definitely will be there in time of Tchias Mason. So therefore, nothing, there was no question. Okay, so I think we'll stop here. And I think we probably have one more time left in this piece, I think. We still have to take up I posed the question last time about what's the significance of saying whether or not the mitzvahs will be knocked out in the future or not. I didn't really come back around to that. And then there's a third question which they asked the Rashba regarding this matter. So hopefully we could pick those up next time. I think actually next week I'm not going to be able to do it. I think I'm going on a trip. I'm coming back on Tuesday night. I don't think it's going to happen. So yeah, that's definitely not gonna happen. So I guess we'll have to postpone till hopefully the week after that. Okay?